Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Please be advised that Little Miss Recap contains adult language.
Hi everyone, welcome to Little Miss Recap, the podcast where nothing is real.
Oh my God. Amy, we've been duped.
I'm so angry. My name's Amy Archer. I'm here with the noodle to my meatball, Steph. Steph, I'm angry.
I'm angry too. Like, I'm so fucking pissed off that I truly feel like I never want to see any of these motherfuckers on my screen again. Well, with the exception of like Chloe and Michael, they don't bother me nearly as much. But I am
over... these girls hate Chloe. Chloe hates these girls.
I know.
Are we in agreement?
Yeah, I agree. I kind of think I hate them too. I'm to the point where I don't like any of the original girls. Even Becca, the one that I like.
The girls or boys?
No, same. Well, that's a given. But I mean, even Becca, who I loved dearly and was protecting with my own life, like, I never want to see her again either. They're all fucking garbage.
Guys, they concocted a plan and they lied to us.
I know, and I'm not here for that. Like, you just
and
wasted.
I know I sound like a rube. Like, I'm like, oh my God, the reality TV people lied to us. But there is a sense of like betrayal with the audience.
I agree.
You know me, and I've talked to you about this a million times. I have discovered through my therapy journey that the thing that is most important to me, that I treasure the most in people, is authenticity.
Agreed.
And the fact that all of this was fake.
I know.
Oh my God, it just makes me crazy.
It's infuriating. Like, you wasted my time. Don't waste my fucking time. I don't have time to waste. Get out of here, all of you.
I can't wait till next week when we hear from Pep and Cal.
Oh, I know.
They're going to be pissed.
They better be pissed. If any one of these girls, women, I should say, starts peddling something on the internet, like some stupid thing that they're selling, or like, I'm gonna punch my screen. Like, I'm gonna fling my phone into the street and I'm gonna punch my screen, because I'm over all of them. Get off my TV, all of you. Goodbye.
I'm over them. I feel similar to, you know what we needed? We needed Nick Lachey, Daddy Lachey, to come on and yell at them like he did, like he yelled at Sarah and Jeremy or whatever her name was.
Yeah.
That's what we needed. We needed Daddy Lachey to show up and start yelling at people, because Kevin tried. But
yeah.
Kevin, he failed in some respects. He had the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable. So, guys, by the time you hear this, Virgin River will be out tomorrow.
Yay.
We're doing episodes. I think we're doing 1 and 2 this week, right? Yeah. Yes. We're doing 1 and 2.
Yes.
So we're very excited to go back to Virgin River. We're very excited for you to hear it.
Yes.
On Patreon, we're finishing up The Single Life. We're on a 5-part tell-all. You think this is bad? 5 part tell-all.
Wow.
And what else are we doing over there? Sister Wives. Sister Wives is coming back.
Oh, right.
And Daughters of the Cult.
Yes.
Good. So let's get into it, shall we? We have a lot to cover. This was 2.5 hours.
It was insanity. I kept thinking, like, am I watching next week's?
Right. We watched a screener. It was 2.5 hours without commercials.
Mm-hmm.
What was this like for the masses?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
All right. Let's get rolling. These people, this is Married at First Sight, season 17, episode 24. Are you keeping track? Because once we get to 26, like, that means 6 months.
It's like 95, it feels like.
Mm-hmm. The reunion part one. Guys, these people can't even sit together. Kevin is like, he is, I want to use a war metaphor, but I don't really know any. He has... two sides of an army on either side of them. I don't know either.
The red coats and...
oh. I got it. Remember, when you were little, did your parents make you watch the movie The Ten Commandments? Because my parents did. Every Easter.
Oh, no. Thank God.
And Jenny and I literally only watched for the magic tricks. And we watched when Moses would part the Red Sea. And that's is like. He's holding both sides of the sea on either side of him.
Oh, my dear God.
Yeah. And do you notice Chloe... bad. Do you notice Chloe goes, I have to sit to the right? Like, she doesn't want to sit on the left with them.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, she hates them.
What do you think? I know, but I don't blame her. I hate them too.
I think she's, we'll get into it. I've complicated feelings about them.
Yeah, okay, okay.
So Kevin Frazier's kind of like, why are all you ladies in pink? And Emily says, like, we were all lied to, and this is our solidarity.
Oh, fuck off.
And Kevin asks Chloe why she's not in pink. And she gives some kind of answer like, well, because we started later, they were already on their journey and they just bonded in a way that we didn't. And I just wrote, Chloe wants nothing to do with these people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She's done.
She's also, I feel like, far more
mature.
Mature. Yeah.
Yes. I agree. That's what I was going to say. She has an emotional maturity to her that these people do not have.
Just do not.
Men, women, mm-hmm. all of them.
All of them, yeah. Yeah.
We learn that Austin and Michael are friends. We learn that Cam is feeling better.
His ticker is less broken.
It's less broken because he's away from Claire.
Oh.
So Kevin is like, I'm feeling a lot of hostility here.
Yeah.
What's going on? Becca says, what happened off camera was totally different. And Emily says, people hid, like Cam and Brennan, and people treated us real poorly. And Cam's yelling, where did I hide?
Ooh.
There's a lot of, in this episode, guys, there's a lot of he said, she said. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to do the best I can to just kind of sum up what they're saying.
Yeah, it's not going to be possible to get it all. There was so much. So I wouldn't, like, whatever.
There was so much and it was so back and forth.
Yes. It was a lot of fucking, like, arguments.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Did you feel like everyone was just arguing and, like, throwing stuff at each other? Well, not that they were really, but that's what it felt like.
So we get into this whole thing about Cam supposedly telling Claire that he was not attracted to her. And I think 1,000% that happened.
Because
we know he's not... What we have seen of him, we know that he's not exactly gentle. He's very blunt.
Right.
He's very honest. And I think that he probably did say, I asked for a European slender woman.
Yeah.
Not realizing. I don't think he did it maliciously.
I don't either.
He knew the impact of that.
I don't either, but I agree with you. Yeah.
Emily says, Brennan silenced me by deleting my diary cams. And then he's like, I didn't delete your diary cams. And she's like, bro, you literally sat on the bed with your arms folded and said, I'm not going to bed until you delete that diary cam.
Ew. God, it was right.
Ew.
Like, what are we, 6? How old are we?
And Brennan goes, well, you know, we lived private lives. And Kevin goes, stop right there, dude. You were on a reality show. Nothing is private.
Mm-hmm. Craziness.
By the way, for all of you wondering, we also found out in this episode that they can plug in and unplug prison cam.
I know.
How about
that? Is that why we're not getting any of it? That's why we didn't get any of it.
If I were the experts, I would rewrite this fucking rule, rewrite the rule book like you would not believe.
And like my other question to that too is why was production not putting a stop to that? Like right, somebody they, should, like, I don't understand.
I have a theory.
Ooh, okay, okay.
I think it's kind of like a Monday Night Football situation. So you have John Madden and Al Michaels. This is how long it's been since I've watched Monday Night Football. I think John Madden's
watched. I've literally never watched.
They're in the booth, okay?
Okay.
And something happens and we go to the replay and they're watching the replay. Mavs wants us to believe that Cal, Pepper, and Pia are in a little Monday Night Football-like booth watching all the footage that comes out of this. That is not what's happening.
No.
I think somebody wasn't paying attention. Nobody was watching. And they didn't notice till it was too late that, oh, we haven't been getting footage.
Yeah.
And they couldn't admit it because nobody was watching.
I think you might be right. Because this is the only season that it's been so bad that we've gotten nothing.
We got nothing.
One prison cam of Michael and Chloe when they were on the couch, remember? And she was like, getting sexy. Yeah. That was the only one that I remember seeing. Crazy.
Michael and Chloe are the only ones who played by the rules.
I know. Because they're normal. Well, you know what I mean. None of us are normal. I'm not normal.
So now we learned that they all had a pact where, according to Brennan, they were not going to let the producers decide their edits. They were going to put on an act for the cameras and do what they had to do to, quote, get through this.
I know. So which leads me to, like, why the fuck would you go on the show? Like, I want somebody to ask that question.
We know why they went on the show because Becca. She says later, like, people came on to get Instagram followers, to start businesses, to promote their current business.
That's messed up, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So,
and like, I was just going to say, not to go back, but this is what we've talked about. Well, especially you've brought up several times how, like, this platform just doesn't work. Mm-mm. If these people are allowed to manipulate it, it's not working. So no, something's got to change. Like, how can we do this again? Not knowing if they're being authentic or not. Like, that's the whole problem that I have with reality TV. And you know this about me. If it's not real, I don't want to watch it. Don't waste my fucking time.
And don't get me wrong. Like, I know there are parts of it that are massaged, of course.
Of course.
But not to this level. Not like this. This is, and you might have one or two people on, like, I'm thinking of Love is Blind. Mm-hmm. You might have one or two people on that are there for the edit or whatever, there for the clout. This is totally different. They all made a pact. So Brennan says, we all agreed to it. And he looks at Emily and Becca and he's like, you could have changed your mind at any moment. And Becca says, but what you're not understanding is we were there to get married first.
Right.
And she says the men wanted to strategize how to get Instagram followers and how to promote their business.
What business? Like, what? I don't even know what any of these fucking idiots do, except Cameron runs a bike shop and now he's in finance. Oh,
that's probably what it is. That's probably what it is. Cam owns a business.
But what do the others do?
Brennan probably wants to get Instagram followers.
Ooh. And what about that other fucking idiot, Austin?
And so that's why I don't think, like, because then we get to Austin and he's like, I don't give a fuck about social media. I'm not on it. I don't care about it. And I do believe that of him. Yeah,
me too. A little bit.
And Becca says, is that why you plugged in the cameras to have a conversation about optics with me? And he's like, no, I plugged in the cameras to catch some of this shit on camera. And then I wrote, wait a minute. Plugging cameras in is an option? Lauren says Orion told her that he applied to the show to showcase indigenous people. And Orion turns bright pink and says, I did acknowledge. And he starts word salading. I did acknowledge that this would be an exciting chance for me to like, whatever, dude. We don't
just build
your dick bridge into the wind. Yeah. We don't know.
Goodbye.
Now, this is hilarious because Kevin scolds them a little bit. And he's like, the experts spend 1,000,000 hours matching you and they work tirelessly. Okay. Calm down. They literally sit at a card table for 2 hours behind the scenes and just match people based on looks.
I know. I think he was just trying to drive home the point, though, that like you wasted everyone's time. I think that's what he was trying to get at, you know?
Me too. And he's right. So he says, you can't outsmart the show. You think, motherfucker, there have been people who haven't tried to outsmart this show. You have no idea how smart this show is. It's been around for a gazillion years, never changing.
Okay. Sorry, sir, but
so now Cameron
been
goes,
outsmarted. I mean, that's exactly what they did.
Would you like to talk about Cameron being gaslit?
Oh, Amy, I don't even know where to go with this. I don't.
He says this is my first experience being gaslit.
Well, I know that. Oh, did you want me to do it in his voice? Oh, yes. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
So, what does he say? This is my first experience being gaslit on national television with my broken ticker. Oh, I don't know. Like, I can't even put all of my effort into my fake Cameron voice because I hate him that much now. You were right. He's a serial killer. Well, maybe he's not. I don't think he's a serial killer.
I'll get to it because let me get to it because there's something I believe about him. Like, I believe him on one case.
Okay.
And I disbelieve him on another. Okay.
I wonder if it's the same one.
He says, here's what happened. On our wedding night, we talked about what we wanted in a partner. And I got what I wanted and she didn't. And he said, but things went south very quickly because the second night, Claire said she was still in love with her boyfriend and he believes it was an active relationship. And I believe him on this.
Yeah, I do too.
Because she looked stunned.
She was, yeah.
Like she looked stunned in a way that she was like, I can't believe you just said that.
Yeah, I agree and with you on this.
If it was completely fabricated, she just would have been like, what are you talking about?
Yep.
But she looked like she was going to cry.
I know. So do you think she got married when she was actively in a relationship? Like, how did that not come out?
I think it was probably a toxic on again, off again situation. We've seen that before.
You're right. Yeah.
And she thought they were off again. And this happened. Because don't forget, there's like a little bit of time between knowing you've been chosen and going on. Like, not long, but they probably hooked up. Yeah. Her reaction.
I completely agree with you. I agree with that.
Wild. So Claire claims
that coming out.
Claire claims that he's lying and this was a year before filming. And she says, on the way home from the honeymoon, he texted her and he said, I know a way out of this. We could pretend this never happened. And he came up with the religious differences thing. Cam claims that Claire asked him to do this. I kind of believe that, too.
I kind of do, too. I don't know, Aim. I don't know. I hate all of these people because I don't even know why I'm trying to speculate because they're all fucking liars. It doesn't matter.
And I have a question for you, too. Why is Cam dressed like – you think Austin dresses sloppy? Cam is dressed like he's going to hang out and shoot pool.
It's real weird.
He's wearing a hoodie with a suit jacket.
I know. But, I mean, whatever.
So, Kevin says, all of this was fake.
Yeah.
Becca says, I really wish I didn't go along with this. I just wanted the marriage to work. And Austin said, I thought this was a joint decision. But I did want a wife and I did want a marriage. And then she does her classic with me. And he says, yes. And
God,
Kevin asks Austin.
I hate that she does that.
I know, me too. Kevin asks Austin, were you attracted to Becca? And Austin says, yes, I was. I'm not now, but I was.
What?
And she laughs and says, I know. She laughs and goes, thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah.
Now Cam and Claire come out alone. And she says he made it very clear that he was not attracted to her. And they do kind of reach this point where Cam is like, okay, I admit I said that I said mm-hmm. I wanted a European slender woman. Mm-hmm. And I literally don't think he understood how women would respond to that.
No, I don't either. And that's sort of what I was saying about him from the beginning. I don't think that the things that come out of his mouth are all done with malicious intent. I think he's just not very emotionally intelligent, maybe. I don't know.
It's like I'm done even trying to figure it out.
I know, me too. That's how I feel too. I'm like, mm-hmm. Why am I even trying?
They fight about the attraction thing. It's boring. Now we get to DeClaire visit him when he was sick. She cries and says yes. He says you canceled 5 times. We see footage of them at the anniversary dinner breaking up. He says Claire wanted him to go ahead with the plan. She says, I have no idea who the real you is. Kevin says you fucked this up by deceiving the process. Now, like, nobody believes anything here.
Exactly.
I hope nobody follows these fucking idiots.
I know.
And instead of this being a promotion for Cam's bike business, I hope no one ever goes there.
I don't know that it was, because he really didn't plug that at all during the show.
Because he wasn't on the show.
No, well, true. Very true. But even when he was, like, I don't know. I don't know. There's no way to know. Get off
Claire
my screen.
Says, now, Cam says he thinks they could have made it work, and maybe he wants to try again. Now, this is where I see the manipulator in him. Because this is pure manipulation.
Yes, it is. I agree.
He does not want to fucking try again. Mm-mm. He hates her. This is pure manipulation. And my blood ran cold when I saw him doing this. I was like,
oh. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. That's when I was texting you like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. All of this. Yep. Yes.
Ugh. Claire says, you say you're in love with me. And then the next breath, you're calling me a sociopath.
Mm.
And Kevin's trying to, like, break her the deal. I think Kevin's like, I need these experts to go 1 for 5 here. I need somebody to work out. So he's trying to stitch them back together again, but it's not happening. And she says, I'm putting this behind me. I'll respect you, but there will never, ever be a future. And she's seeing somebody. I wonder if it's the boyfriend.
Mm.
And Cam is starting a new job in finance. So that's where we leave them.
I'm in finance. What's not riding my bike anymore. I'm guessing he probably works as like a bank teller.
Maybe.
Right?
So now Becca and Austin.
Like, what
come
could
out.
He be doing in finance? Like, truly. And no shade to him. Like,
no, but I don't know.
We only know no him as a bike fixer upper guy. Like, I don't really
know.
We know
nothing about him because he wasn't on the show.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So Becca and Austin come out now and they show a clip of them sitting by the fire having a cute moment. Becca says, yeah, well, the raw footage of that moment looks very different than the footage you're seeing.
Right.
Ooh. She's like, Austin was low energy, blah, blah, blah. He says, yeah, filming was exhausting. Mm. Then they bring up intimacy. They have a fight about this. He acknowledged there was an issue, but she added pressure and anxiety. She says, I asked you a bunch of times about a comfortable timeline. You could never give me one. But then you went on after party and you told Keisha 3 to 6 months was your timeline.
Mm-hmm. Like, does anyone have a real timeline? Like, I think that's a stupid thing to say. And it's a stupid question to ask. Because
it's been so long since I've been single and dated. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I guess what they were trying to get at is, like, is there a pattern with which you're usually comfortable waiting a certain amount of time for people?
Yeah,
you know, maybe some people are like third date, you know, some people, whatever. Hey everyone, stay tuned. Little Miss Recap will be right back after these words.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news, ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So So then we learn that he literally pushed her off of him several times.
I know.
And like, she wasn't doing anything sexual.
That's really bad, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's really, like, I can't even imagine how I would feel if someone did that to me. That's horrible.
So now we talk about the producer. We relive the party, the pizza party massacre. Austin says he didn't invite Becca because they just didn't have plans. But she keeps bringing up, like, that wasn't the bad part. The bad part was you lied.
Yeah.
He's like, yes, I lied.
I have a question for you about these two. Do you think that they, collect, like the both of them, were part of this plan of acting? Or was it something that, because I feel watching them and the thinking back over the bullshit of these two over the entire 7,000 months of this, but it feels to me like I felt anyway that they were authentic for like a little bit, and then there was a very obvious switch. So did they join in the pact later?
I think they were in the pact.
Oh, you do?
But I don't know.
So that's, I can't figure it out either because there's part of me that feels like Becca really was genuine about this stuff until a certain point.
You have to understand what the pact was.
Yeah.
So the pact wasn't reactive, it was proactive. So the pact was, we're going to get in there and we're going to get ahead of this and we're going to shape our narratives and not let the producers. So like, I don't think it was born out of like, this is a disaster, let's make a plan. I think it was because they said it was formed on the honeymoon. So I think it was, we're gonna outsmart the system. And it may have come out of Cam and Claire's personal disaster, but I think for everybody else it was like proactive.
Okay,
so I think the plan's been in place the entire season.
Crazy.
Which is bonkers.
So bonkers.
But I do agree with you. I think that Austin and Becca were the most authentic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But she should have been at a meeting with Dr. Pia saying, he's pushing me off of him when I'm just hugging him.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Well, so, I think he just wasn't attracted to her. And I said that.
Me too.
He just wasn't.
So he says, I've acknowledged this many times that I lied. I've said I'm sorry and I'm sorry. They also had a pact to say yes on decision day and to figure it out after. They go back and forth a little bit, and then she says, you know, we just weren't meant to be. I'm not the right person for him. He wants to be friends, but she says she will not trust him anytime soon. And then he tells Kevin, he's offended by Kevin questioning his integrity.
I know. Like, sorry, Austin, what?
Yep.
Now you're going to grow a backbone? Fuck you.
And then backstage, Austin hugs her and cries.
I know.
And the girls are like, what was that about? And she's like, he said I could have gone harder on him and I didn't. And he was grateful for me. Chloe and Michael. This is why I think Chloe hates these bitches and these bitches hate Chloe. Because, and when I say these bitches, I don't mean that. You know what I'm saying. The girls.
The girls.
They're backstage. Chloe is sitting with the men.
I know.
Even backstage.
I know.
She's not sitting with them.
I'm not going to lie, though. That would totally be me, too. I would never have meshed with that group of girls. I would have been hanging out with the guys, too, even if they were assholes. There's no way that I could have put up with that kind of catty bullshit high school
behavior. I would not
mesh
with those men at all.
No, I wouldn't either. But I think I could find myself sitting in a room with them before I found myself trying to be friends with these girls that acted like children. I can't. It's too much.
I could
for me.
See me being friends with Lauren or Becca.
Yes.
I would never be friends with Emily. Ugh.
And you know what? Let me say something. When I keep saying these girls are the women, I'm not really including Lauren in that. I don't know why. I'm just not.
Yeah.
Are you?
I couldn't be friends with Claire either, I don't think. Claire.
Oh no.
Claire is very she's just not emotionally open, in my opinion.
I don't think
like,
so
I don't
either.
Know who she is.
Mm-mm. Emily, I would, there's no question. Like, no, absolutely not.
No, but I couldn't be friends with Emily.
I just want to make it clear. Like, I don't hate Lauren. I don't dislike
her. Lauren's great.
Lauren's great.
Lauren's great.
But I also don't know how she's friends with these people. Right?
I'm living for Lauren saying, if you poke the bear, I'm going to bite back. I hope that's directed right at Orion's face.
I know, me too. Mm-hmm. Me too.
Mm. So, okay. Chloe and Michael come out. Chloe says she was so nervous because she was taking this so seriously. And it was the hardest thing she had ever done, the filming while trying to juggle a new relationship. Kevin brings up the break that Chloe wanted when she needed that mm-hmm. break. Michael says he was okay with it. He understood she was an introvert. It was fine. She says, this is interesting. She says she needed him to ask her to stay. Yeah. So it was a little bit of a test.
A game. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she says she believes that Michael had an agenda for being on the show.
I know. Ooh.
And she says they had just gotten married. They were sitting in the car after the reception. And Chloe said, so what's my new last name? And he says, you don't need a reason to change your last name, or you don't have a reason to change your last name. Now, he could have just been to change your last name. Yeah, it's fine.
I don't know if that was more of just him being like cool with whatever she decided to do.
I've said from the beginning, and I maintain, Michael is very curated in his responses.
Yeah, I agree.
Everything is curated. So I don't know. I think he's a good person.
Oh, me too. I do too.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I'm questioning everything at this point.
There's no way to know.
And so Chloe says finding out that his mom didn't know, she tried to think it was a cultural thing and smooth it over. But she's like, you know, I think he should have told her. And we said he should have told her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
He explains a little bit why he didn't. And he's like, I told my entire family. I just didn't tell my mom. If you have a sister,
does your family not talk to your mom? Yeah.
Right. If you have a sister or if your mom has a sister, I guarantee you that phone was lighting up with the news of your marriage, buddy.
They As somebody that has four sisters, I can tell you for certain.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So Kevin presses him for why he said no, and he starts to pontificate and go through his word salad. And she says, just stop. Just say it. It won't hurt my feelings. Just say it. And he says, I don't have a list of things about Chloe that I can pinpoint. I just didn't think we built enough of a foundation to, like, it's just word vomit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, whatever. He says she was more transparent than him, and he should have told her earlier that he was struggling. Oh, he says this. He says, mm-hmm. like, I should have told you earlier I was struggling. He says he does regret saying no on decision day.
Oh.
But there's a caveat here. And this is, Michael, you should be a lawyer, because this is a slick little workaround. Okay? He says, I do regret saying no on decision day. I regret that I wasn't in the place to say yes. He doesn't say he regrets saying no. He regrets that his feelings weren't at a place where he could say yes. That's different. That's different, Michael. Okay, just putting that out there. So Michael says that he has, or she says she does not want another chance with him. She is moving on. Michael says he's healed, but he's not dating one either. Chloe says her spirit is renewed. She would do it all again. She feels only appreciation towards Michael because he got her to this point. Now, let me ask you about Chloe, because you were on the fence about her.
Mm-hmm.
I liked her in the end. What did you think?
I love her.
Yeah, I think she handled this well.
I do, too. I think she's the only one that wasn't acting like a fucking idiot. Although I don't think Michael was acting like a fucking idiot either.
So now Kevin says, are you ready for this?
Hmm.
When we come back, we'll be joined by just the Denver women. Don't go away. We're just getting started. I'm like, what?
What?
It's been 2 hours. What do you mean we're just getting started?
I'm tired. I need a friggin' nap after this shit.
So the women say they're angry because they deserve more. These men were a nightmare. Claire says they were not being authentic to themselves. Emily says all of this started because the men were not ready for marriage. Now Kevin. Kevin Frazier.
Kevin.
Things not to say to women. Number one, Well, you call yourself a strong woman. Why'd you not fight back? No.
Oh,
no. No.
Sir.
Nope. Yeah. Nope. Kevin says, literally, well, you say you're strong women. That's what you say. So why didn't you say no? And I just wrote, that is the question of somebody's maleness, like somebody who's walked through the world as a man, because you don't understand 1 minute what it is like to be a woman. Not one minute. Oh, that enraged me. That enraged me. Oh, you say, like, it's the equivalent of saying to a battered woman, well, you say you're a strong woman. Why aren't you leaving him? No.
Right. I know.
There's so many other things that fucking play, dude.
I know. Ugh. That's rough.
That just set me off. I don't know why. Like, it was just such
because it's, you're absolutely right. It's like Pastor Cal or Castor Pal. What's his name? Castor Pal.
Castor Pal.
I don't even know anymore. Driving in his car, talking about women be shopping. Like, fuck off.
Like, oh, you say you're a strong woman. So why'd you go around? Like, you're not taking into consideration, like, cultural stigmas, power dynamics. Like, stop. Stop.
All of the things.
Yeah. So they say they got a bad batch of men. I would say my dating history, you just summed it up. I just got a bad batch of men. And it's Kevin's so like, true. Kevin goes, well, if you pushed back harder, maybe they would have had to reveal their true selves. Fuck off at this point, Kevin.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's losing me here.
Are the women a little rough around the edges with how they're coming at this? Sure.
Completely. They're also just too immature to be doing this. None of those three girls, and I'm excluding Lauren and Chloe from this conversation, but those three were not mature enough to even be part of this process. They just weren't.
See, I think Becca is very mature.
I do too, but I also think Becca was swayed because we saw a blatant shift in her personality, in her whole presence on screen. Like, but these last, like, go ahead.
So they showed a scene that we did not see, right? And it was them meeting up at the bar at the end. Mm-hmm. And Becca says, they started talking about the conspiracy theory. Becca, I feel like her instincts knew something was up here. She knew that the men were not in this for the right reasons. Mm-hmm. And that's why she said to Austin, well, why don't you prove it and let me see the men's group chat? Could you imagine what that group chat looked like?
No.
It's probably Machiavellian. I mean, it was probably crazy.
It had to have been real bad.
So I do think that Becca may have gotten swept up in it a little bit, but I think it was based on her genuine instincts that something was afoot.
Okay.
Like something was awry. I don't know.
You're probably right. No, you're probably right.
I give her a little more grace because I feel like she's more emotionally mature than Claire and Emily.
I agree. I mean, the girl's never even been in a relationship and they chose her to get married at first sight. I mean, that was just shame on the experts, truly.
And I don't blame her because she's young and she's inexperienced. But you take a perimenopausal meatball and put her in that situation with the Brennan, and I could manipulate the fuck out of Brennan and get his real character to show on screen.
Yeah, I think
you don't know that when you're 25.
Mm-mm.
So Kevin asked why there was no intimacy. They addressed the conspiracy theory. Becca says it was wild. And Becca says, as confused as you guys are, we were even more confused.
Mm.
They talk about banging. And Becca says, these men were not even talking to us or being emotionally intimate. So they cut off the path to sex time and time and time again. Emily talks about her accident. Now, this was tough. Because I think back to times in my life when I felt extremely vulnerable.
Okay.
Like, for example, when I was on my very scary anxiety journey recently. And I'm sure you've had those times.
I'm sure.
Thinking specifically about the time you were in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
And you're so scared and somebody comes in and they're like helping you And you just sort of, you're so appreciative for that in that moment. And that's exactly what she describes that Brennan did. She's like, I was so vulnerable and so scared. He came in. I appreciated that. But then she's like, but he manipulated me with that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he totally did. But we watched him do that. We watched him turn himself into like a mini Betsy hero Ross. Was it, caricature. Is Betsy?
No, she's the flag person.
Flag lady.
Who's the Florence Nightingale? Is she the famous nurse? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Florence
Nightingale. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's who he turned into, not Betsy Ross. He was not stitching a flag for our country.
Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm.
Although he probably would. So.
God.
She says, I think he used my accident to come out of this looking good. And she starts to cry.
Yeah.
And Kevin tries to end this nightmare. And Emily's like, wait a minute. Where are we going, sir? Because I have so much more to talk about.
I know.
And she's like, Brennan was texting Claire's friend, trying to hook up with her. And Kevin's like, okay, we're going to get everybody out here together to talk about it. But first, we got to have you and Brennan square off against each other. So now Emily and Brennan come out. Brennan starts and he's like, we were just not a match. There were differences in our lifestyles. And when I felt the experts failed me, I didn't trust the process. He is such a tool bag. I can't stand this motherfucker. Him and his little suit coat that he wears to everything. I just want to take it off, put it over his head, spin him around a bunch of times and have him walk out into a freeway.
Ooh, oh,
that was graphic.
That was tough. Wow. I was just shoving it up his ass.
I want him to go all Frogger. He has to figure out how to cross the road. I didn't say I want him to get hit by a car. I want him to just try to walk through traffic. God. So she says, you didn't even try. Now we revisit the Dr. Pia visit. This is gold. This is scapegoating gold right here. Yeah, because he says, I apologize for not understanding how therapy works. I thought, so Brennan was never in therapy before. I don't know if you knew that, Steph. I don't know if that was obvious.
No, I would never have guessed that.
But he's never been to therapy before. So he thought the purpose of therapy is to work on the future, not the past.
Oh my God.
That's literally the antithesis of therapy.
Seriously, dude. Who found him?
I know.
Like,
I feel like I know a few of my friends who've recently dated or been dating. I feel like this is what's fucking out there a lot of times.
I would rather be alone for the rest of my motherfucking life.
Me too. Timmy and I talk about this all the time.
Like, to have to spend a minute with that fucking guy? Ugh.
I come from a long line of women who get burned and then live the rest of their lives alone.
I know you do.
And that's what I would do if Timmy and I broke up or whatever. I would just be living out my dream.
Hmm. You'll be living with me. Let's be real.
I'm serious, because my grandfather died at 41. She lived alone ever since.
I know, but that's what I'm saying.
My mom's doing it. Jenny's doing it.
We're going to Golden Girls it out, though.
There you go.
With our little mansion by the sea.
She says, I'm a big girl. I could take it. Stop hiding under this, like, I don't want to hurt Emily. She goes, you did not want to hurt me. You wanted to protect your image. Ding, 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 ding.
Yep.
She's talking over him. He's saying things like, my parents raised me to be nice. Okay.
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 I know. Like, don't, sir, don't.
No. So now we get to this thing where everything was fine, Brennan says, until there was a malicious rumor. Ooh. She's like, it wasn't one rumor, it was many. And he goes, many? And then we cut out. We're done. To be continued.
To be continued.
Next time on.
Ugh.
Emily sobs. Claire sobs. Oh, wait, everyone sobs. Emily yells at Kevin, storms off. Austin shoves a camera out of his face. That's what we got so far.
I can't wait. This was bonkers.
And this is where I just wrote, I'm so sick of these idiots. You have no idea.
I know. I am I'm here for like the on-screen drama just because we really didn't get anything this season.
Sure.
But I am so fucking sick of these people. I'm not going to lie. I cannot wait for this to be over. if I never have to see Brennan and Emily's face ever again, it will be too soon. That's mean. I know.
But
I know
it's just going to start all over again. I guarantee you we will have a month off, 2 months off, and they're going to do it again. So get ready for 6 more months.
I know, but I have to hold on to hope that it's going to be better. I can't, because otherwise
The thing is, they will not learn from this. They will not learn from this, and they will not move in a different direction. They will just keep on churning this out. It's one of Lifetime's most watched shows. They're just going to keep churning it out the way it is, status quo.
I really hope
you're
wrong.
They've already filmed Boston. It's in the can.
I know.
Now, I do know that Austin, which is after Boston, does have a 55-year-old couple on it or older.
I can't wait for that.
That has been privately confirmed to me.
That's awesome.
So that's happening.
I mean, but that's what we need. Give me the 40-50 crowd.
I also have to tell you that I'm continuing to watch Apples Never Fall.
Okay.
And I'm now on I have made so much progress that I'm now on episode 2.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. That's it? Mm-hmm. You really don't like it?
No, I'm watching it. I'm liking it better. I like it better because I looked ahead and I saw that each of the kids will get a centric episode for themselves. Mm-hmm. And I like that kind of shit.
Yeah.
I love any kind of deviation in storytelling.
Yeah. Like so, The Affair. Remember, yes, we were exactly. So obsessed with that concept exactly. On The Affair. Mm-hmm.
So I really like that. So I'm watching, but I don't know. I'm interested in it now.
It is very interesting.
It could be better.
Patrick, I agree, but the story's real. Like, it's a great story.
Yeah.
Patrick and I are watching A Friend of the Family, which is this series.
That's old, though. That's from 2022, right?
No, I think it's a new series.
I don't think so.
Oh. Well, it's new to me. Because
you were telling me to look it up, and I looked it up, and I think the only one I saw was Google it and see. Oh, yeah. I think it's 2022. And Timmy and I are also, yeah.
How did I not know that? Well, regardless.
Timmy and I are also watching Three Body Problem. Are you and Patrick watching
No,
this?
But that's on our list for next.
Okay.
But right. A Friend of the Family is really fucking good.
Like, yeah,
it's
I'll
a true story
that.
About mm-hmm. this girl, young girl that was abducted by her parent, like their neighbor who was like the parent's best friend, and how he manipulates all of them. And it's a true story. It's bonkers fucking wild how I don't even you have to watch it. It's so good. Okay. I love it so much. Backdoor Friends, go back and watch it because I'm desperately trying to get Amy to cover it with me. It's so good. It's so good.
All right, guys. So I want to thank everybody. If you want to support the show, please jump over to Patreon, Supercast, or Apple subscriptions. If you can't do that, please share the show and subscribe. I have a contest going right now. It ends Saturday. All I need you to do is share the show in some way, and a lot of you have been doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to thank you so much. In Backdoor Friends, there is a thread. Share the show. Just tell somebody about it, whether you leave a comment on somebody's post or you're in a group that you think would appreciate Little Miss Recap. Leave it. Take a screenshot of your share. Put it in this thread in Backdoor Friends, and somebody's going to win a full year of Little Miss Recap Extra, which
that's
is very
awesome.
Exciting.
Very, mm-hmm. very exciting.
Also, I already announced this, but if you listened to or if you responded to our survey that I did, I have chosen the two winners for a piece of merch, and I've emailed you. I have not heard back yet, so check your emails, guys.
Oh, no.
Because if you're a winner,
Check
your spam. I probably went to your spam.
Mm-hmm.
And also, jumping back to our friends. We have a good time in there.
We do.
Still have not had to turn on post approval, so we're getting there.
I know. I'm proud of us.
I'm very proud of us. We've all managed to act our ages, so that's pretty good.
For the most part, yeah.
Nobody's like Brennan in there just trying to stir shit up, or Emily, you know?
Or like building dick bridges. Not happening in there.
Emily could never be in our Facebook group.
Oh.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. We'll be back next week. Steph, thank you. And we'll talk to you soon.
Love your bones.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.